thank you all for being here. I appreciate your attendance very much. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to open with prayer so I don't have to stick pastor with the job. She always gets stuck with that. So please pray with me. Holy God, thank you for bringing us together today. May our conversation be one of respect, care, and compassion for one another and all of your children. Amen. Thanks for being here, everybody. My name is Beth Donahoe, and I am the chair or whatever of the LGBTQ inclusion group. And we have been working very hard on the next steps of what it means for our church to be reconciling in Christ. We lost our fearless leader and mentor, Rick Pribernow, in August, suddenly to cardiac arrest. And that left me feeling a little bit like I was flying without a net. But my group has been wonderfully supportive and rallied around me and each other to make sure that this process continues to happen, because I had a hot minute where I didn't, you know, wanted to give up. But that's not a possible, that's not a possibility, so we're here. The members of our group, so everybody's familiar, it's myself, Mark Bateman, Michelle Vossler, Celie Lester, Christine Koch, Carolyn McKenna, Dick Swaysgood, and then Doug Johnson, our youth and family minister leader and pastor, are our, like, they're our support staff. They're there for advice and wisdom and guidance when we need it. But this is very much a member-led grassroots movement. It's coming from the bottom up, not top down. So what we're going to do today is just a really, really quick review. We're not going to go through all the conversations that Rick led us through over the past year. We just want to let you know where we are now and give you some updates. I'm going to be talking, Michelle's going to be talking, and Celie's going to be talking, and then I want to leave as much time at the end for questions and comments, because this is kind of the final step in this process before we bring this to the congregation for a vote in January. That's the next milestone. So the first thing I'm going to talk about is, just so everybody is aware of where this kind of stuff comes from, and I'm sharing my screen. Aaron taught me how to do this. Okay, so, and also, everybody look at my shirt. See my shirt? Michelle Vossler gave me this shirt. Yeah. It says, here I stand. Oh, are Michelle, are you wearing yours too? Awesome. So these shirts are from Reconciling Works. And Reconciling Works is the national advocacy group that is headquartered in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And they've been around since 1974. And you can, I made that large enough for everybody to see at the bottom what they are. Thank you for your patience and grace, everyone. Okay, so Reconciling Works, as I was saying, is the kind of the national headquarters for the Reconciling in Christ movement. And they've been around, as it says here, since 1974. And their full name is Reconciling Works Lutherans for Full Participation. And they have been doing this work since the 70s, and they're not the boss, but they are the advocacy group that helps other churches, you know, go through this process. And they provide a tremendous amount of training, not just for churches, but for individuals, for anybody in the church or outside the church, people who are within the LGBTQ community, or people who love people in that community, or people who just want to know more and want to know more information on how to help and what to do and what's available out there. And they provide a lot of different services and trainings and things like that. So if you're interested at all in any aspect of your life, regardless of whether it's church-related or not, and you're looking for information on advocacy and support of the LGBTQ community, I would really recommend you go to this website. This is just more information about them, their vision to keep expanding the welcome, liberating those who are forced to live in the margins, to keep dismantling barriers and building bridges, to keep working until all of God's beloved have equity. So this is what they do, and this is who we are going to for a lot of help, especially since Rick passed. When we as a congregation pass in January our welcoming statement, it will be posted on their webpage. Reconciling Works puts it on their webpage for everybody to read. And if you want to go to their website and look at what other churches have stated, please do that as well. And then they are also kind of the keeper of the database, so that if someone is moving around the country or around their area and they want to find a church that they know to be welcoming in Christ or reconciling in Christ, will be listed there, and they'll know where we stand on this and the steps we've taken and the steps that our church continues to take to be supportive and affirming of the LGBTQ community. Like a lot of organizations, they also went through some racial equity learning and education over this last year, and they have added a lot of language, as did we in our welcoming statement, about racial equity as well. As we've talked about in other meetings, there is a lot of intersectionality in equity for LGBTQ and also equity within the BIPOC community, the Black, Indigenous, and people of color. Those two things overlap. They're not separate. You can be an LGBTQ person who is Black, who is trans, who, is Lutheran, who is whatever, and those things, where those things meet and cross and overlap, is called intersectionality, and that sometimes makes the experience more beautiful, and it sometimes makes the experience more problematic and dangerous, actually, for those people living in those intersections. So I just wanted to give you a quick background on what Reconciling Works is, and would encourage you to go to their website, and that's where Michelle got us our awesome swag. And thank you, Michelle, for that. And so now I'm going to pass it to Michelle, who's going to tell you about the four commitments that the Reconciling Works people have put forth as the four things that we as a congregation will be committing ourselves to when we enter into the Reconciling in Christ conversation. So I'm going to try this again. So Betty, hold your breath.
Hi, everybody. So while Beth pulls that up, the first commitment is the creation.
Is it there?
Yes,
this is fine.
Great. The first commitment is creating a unique welcoming statement that makes people feel inclusive when they read it on our website, or if they come to our church and pick up a church bulletin. It's presented first and foremost, and it states explicitly that all people are welcome at this church, regardless of sexual orientation, gender identity, expression, LGBTQ+, and also that we are an anti-racism church. Secondly, we have to be willing, some point down the line, if we have to call another pastor, we have to be willing and open and welcoming to calling a pastor from the LGBTQ or BIPOC, Black, Indigenous, or people of color community. Mm-hmm. Thirdly, our sanctuary becomes a welcoming place for people in these communities to participate in all the sacraments, including weddings, blessings, funerals, communion, you name it. And fourthly, we put a little backbone into this program by sending them a contribution annually. There's not a minimum specified, except that we make it meaningful to further the work of inclusion and anti-racism. So those are the four dimensions to becoming Reconciling in Christ official welcoming church.
Are there any questions on any of those? No? Okay. I want to make it clear, too, that two different things. One, on the contribution, I spoke with Dick Szabo of the Outreach Committee to see what it would take to get this made a line item in the budget and things like that. And we don't have to have it made a line item in the budget. That isn't one of their requirements. We could have, for example, I think this was Mark Bateman's idea of our committee, that we have special offerings a couple times a year, maybe on, like, last week was Coming Out Day, there are, there's a day, there's World AIDS Day, there's all kinds of days that are
Pride Month. Calendar,
right, that we could just have a special offering on Sunday a couple times a year, and that the money collected in that offering would go directly to Reconciling Works. The check doesn't have to be cut from St. Andrews. It has to come from our members, which I think in a lot of ways is more meaningful as opposed to a line item that people forget about, but some that people could forget about if it's not on their radar. So we're looking into that, of just having special offerings, and that's totally fine with Reconciling Works. They don't care how the money gets there. They just, like all nonprofits, they lost a lot of cash this year. And so looking for ways to make sure that people are paying it forward. And the other thing I want to make sure everybody understands is that once we're, quote, done with this process, we're not done. We're just starting. My mom made the loveliest analogy that it's this: when we go through this process and we vote and we do all of these things, it's like confirmation. It's not the end of something. It's the beginning of something, and we're entering into a relationship. Our work isn't over once we vote. Our work is starting once we vote. And that, to me, was really lovely and a great way to think about moving forward with this work. The next up is Seeley Lester, our youth representative on the committee, who also has been one of our strongest voices and the one I always want to make sure I'm listening to, because she says some great things. Okay. So now, is it up?
Yes. Okay.
Three for three. Okay, so you all should have already received this in an email when you got this, the link to this meeting today. But this is our statement. It took us a long time to get it right. And we're sharing it with you today so you can know what it is we're promising. So, Seeley, would you read it for us, please?
Yes. Jesus calls us to reconciliation and wholeness in a world full of alienation and brokenness. Being transformed by the love of God to direct our actions, we seek to live out our church's mission statement, growing together in Christ's love and serve all people. Because God's love upholds, sustains, and embraces all people, we are committed to welcoming everyone regardless of sexual orientation, gender identity or expression, race, culture, neurodivergence, ability, age, addiction, relationship status, economic circumstance, or other distinction. Each person is a unique creation and child of God, deserving of acceptance and celebration. We welcome you to our congregation and invite you to participate in all aspects of our community, including baptism and communion, education, fellowship, leadership and service, and weddings and memorials. Believing that the grace of Jesus can heal us from fear, prejudice, and hate, we journey with Christ and seek to follow his example of unconditional love. Join with us in the work against racism and discrimination in all forms, institutional, systemic, and personal. We will hold ourselves accountable individually and collectively to love our neighbor as ourselves through ongoing education, advocacy, and the intentional pursuit of physical, emotional, and spiritual safety and justice and equity for all.
Thank you, Seeley. And then this shorter one would be printed in the bulletin every Sunday. So the longer one would be on our website and on Reconciling Works website. But then this shorter one would be up here in the bulletin every Sunday. So no matter who showed up, they would see it. Seeley, would you read that as well, please?
At St. Andrews is a Reconciling in Christ congregation, living into our mission of growing together in Christ to love and serve all people. We welcome and will include everyone regardless of sexual orientation, gender identity expression, race, culture, neurodivergence, ability, age, addiction, relationship status, economic circumstances, or other distinctions. Please see our full welcoming statement at slc.church. For more information about becoming a Reconciling in Christ congregation, visit reconcilingworks.org.
Great. Thank you, Seeley. Seeley, would you mind sharing with the group what you shared with our team about your college visits and why this statement was so important to you?
Yes. So, first of all, you may notice that there's a lot of commas and words that go into who we're trying to include or who we want to feel welcomed. And you may think that's really long and maybe unnecessary, but personally, I think that it is very important. And looking for colleges this past summer, to me, when I went there and they had like a list like this, it was important to me to see that they were thinking of everybody. And so when we were putting this together, I thought the same thing, like if people are looking for a church, they're going to want to see that we're welcoming everyone.
When Siwi shared that with our group, I thought it was very powerful because we did go round and round about who and what to include, and you know, it was hard, but because you've got to draw a line somewhere, you can't, you know, otherwise it's just a laundry list, but you do want, you don't want to leave anyone out, and it's important that people's identity is spoken and spoken aloud. So that's why we included the list. And to have Siwi say that it was an important thing when she went to colleges was really affirming for us to say, yeah, okay, these things are important. I saw Mary or whoever, there was like one of the little virtual hands up on either my nephew or niece.
We happen to have a neurologist here in the audience who is happy to explain the term neurodivergence to our audience today.
Thank you, doctor.
There will be a fee for my service. Well, neurodivergence is sort of a newer term, and I think that you know, really it's meant to encompass all kinds of things that have to do with the autism spectrum, developmental intellectual disabilities, yes, ADHD, ADD, people who, you know, and I think that arguably could be really, I'm not sure if this was the intent actually, because I'm not a psychiatrist, but I think that could include, you know, major mood disorders, even psychosis, schizophrenia, understanding that, again, we're all God's children and we're here to serve everyone. And so I think that it's really kind of meant to encompass those people who have neurological or psychiatric kind of divergences from what we might consider the mainstream or normal, understanding that's part of the normal distribution of things that happen to people.
Our committee felt that we live in an area where we have more neurodivergence than perhaps some other areas of Washington State or the country. So people who are have an autism spectrum disorder, that term neurodivergence is broadly used within that community.
Mm-hmm. And more and more, the generation, you know, younger than me and twice removed, actually, they're very comfortable with that. They say neurodivergent or neuroatypical, and it's very, it's a standard, you know, descriptor that's used, and it's not used with any kind of pejorative at all. It's just a statement. It's true. It's not a, there's no insult about it, but I think it's very important. I mean, everybody's on the spectrum somewhere, just like everyone's on the LGBT spectrum somewhere. So it's important. We felt it was important to add that. Does anybody have any questions about the our welcoming statement? Just to be clear, we worked really hard on this, so don't ask us to change it. How many drafts I have saved in my computer. We were getting to 4.1.2 and 4.1.3. And so we worked a lot. We worked hard on this, and I thought it was an excellent process, and I really appreciate my team for going through it. But does anybody have any questions about any of it? Issues with it?
We're getting lots of thank yous in chat. Thank you. Oh, we appreciate that.
Yes.
Yeah, are there any words from the statement that pop out at you other than neurodivergence?
To my understanding, Becca, no, they don't have any like, okay, you're reconciling, here's your to-do list. They're more there to support us. And like I said, they offer a lot of trainings and things like that. We will probably need to, they offer help with this, like everything from making sure you have, like if you're going to actually walk the talk that you put in your statement, there might be institutional changes like just in our building. Like, we need to have a gender neutral bathroom. We need to have, you know, where people can go and feel comfortable if, you know, they don't identify as male or female. Which bathroom do they use? Do our forms need to be changed so that we have, when we have kids fill out their, you know, Sunday school registration form, does it say mother, father, does it say mother, father, does it say, you know, pick a sex? Does it, you know, all those kinds of things that we have seen as typical and normal and completely acceptable for the last 100 years. Some people see those kinds of forms and they're immediately alienating. They're off-putting. And so we need to look at things like that, but they're not there to police us. They're there to help us. And they do ask too, I think that we relook at our statement every 5 years to make sure we're still, you know, nothing needs to be added or revisited for any reason.
We've got some questions popping up. I just wanted to add one other change that might be evident. We've had quite a bit of discussion about how our welcoming presence can be broadcast when people are driving by our church. Do we need a big rainbow flag on the flagpole, for example, or something added to our St. Andrew's signage on the streets? So those kinds of things are in our future as well.
I do know that this statement is being, so it was sent to all of you. It's going to be on the Bath Susan to post it on our website. And it's going to be broadcast in an email to everyone and also through snail mail as soon as the church office and I can, you know, coordinate all that. So it's going to be put out. This isn't going to just pop up at the end.
Yeah,
it's going to be published in The Voice. The Voice is coming out. This next edition is going to be printed in The Voice, and it's going to be mailed and then snail mailed. So, and then there's also just a short cover letter that I wrote that explains what it is and that it will be voted on at the January meeting. But it does say in the cover letter that will go with this that you guys all got a copy of, that it was in, our statement was endorsed by the full council at their meeting on October 11th. It is not a requirement that the council approves this. It's just that we just wanted their endorsement. In this process, the council has no more, as individuals, has no more weight than any other member of the congregation. They vote just like everybody else, but they did endorse us and our statement, and we have their full faith in this process, which was very uplifting for us. But it does say in the cover letter, it is our group's intention to present at the January 2022 congregational meeting, and then we will vote on becoming an RIC congregation. And it says, if you have any questions about the enclosed statement or the RIC process, please do not hesitate to contact me or any of our group's members. We look forward to talking with you, which we have said every single time we've sent anything out to anybody, anytime we've published anything on our website or sent out any kind of information. We've always encouraged people to contact us directly or Pastor or Doug, whoever they're comfortable talking to. But we have given opportunity. But I do appreciate that that's part of the process, although we've done that at every step. And we've even told people they can be completely anonymous. And whenever anybody has come to anybody in our group with questions, and then that individual brings those questions to our committee, we don't tell who the question came from. So we just need to know, because we want to protect people's anonymity if they're concerned about that, if they're expressing something that they feel might not be, you know, welcomed, or they don't want to seem hurtful, or, you know, whatever. So we've kept those things very close to the vest. We honestly have not gotten that far. It was just, given all the challenges of COVID and everything, it's just getting it, you know, at some point we were talking that this process could take over 2 years because we didn't know if we could ever, you know, when we could vote in person again and things like that. So we actually haven't gotten that far. We don't know. I mean, we do know that we don't want this to stop. And like I said, with my mother's analogy, it's confirmation. It's not a time to stop. It's a time where you move forward in a new way. And Amanda and I have discussed with Pastor blending the two groups, the racial equity group and the LGBT group, as just an advocacy group, that because we can have a statement about what happens inside our building, but I'm more interested in what our building's going to do outside our building, and how engaged we will be in that community. When our group's work is done to get this passed, a new group could form, and there it might not have the same people on it. You know, I'm sure that there are many members of our group that are going to say, okay, I did that and I'm done now and I'm going to turn it over to somebody else, which I think is good. So I think that if anything, having next steps, we definitely want to make sure we've got them, but knowing what they are now, definitively isn't necessarily going to be helpful if I'm not even on that committee, you know. So I definitely want to invite new people in so we have new voices, because I do know that through this process, people that weren't on this committee have come to me and thanked our committee for doing this, for putting this together, and expressed a lot of enthusiasm. I think that once this passes, we will have more people who are interested in being on the committee to get things done. Being on a task force like this is a lot of slogging work. Doing the work is a lot more fun, at least for me. I'd rather organize a gay pride event than work on another committee. But that's just me.
Thank you, though. Excellent feedback. Thank you.
Yeah, it's very helpful. And this is the kind of feedback we're hoping to get when we disseminate this to the entire congregation, when this, you know, gets put out there. I'm hoping that everyone in the congregation is as forthcoming with advice and input as you all are, because it is very, very helpful. We can't do this in a vacuum at all. Yeah, I definitely was planning on, when we present this at the meeting, to invite people to join us in, you know, forming a new group or expanding the group or however we want to go forward. And when Amanda and I did discuss the joining of these two, our groups, our group decided we definitely wanted to wait until after our vote had gone through, and then we would, so that there, we would just keep our work discreet from theirs, and then after that move forward as a team. And that was definitely on the agenda for later, for into next year. Well, I appreciate everyone participating. It's been a great experience, and I'm really looking forward to January. I honestly still don't know how this is going to look, how we're going to vote. I don't know how. I know that the council is still trying to figure out a way for us to be together safely and make quorum, you know, all those things. So this is still a TBD situation, I think, to be determined. Thank you. Okay. I appreciate you all. Have a great day.